I remember being an evangelical and always listening to these prophecy buffs, and I always think to myself, I've really got to study prophecy, but who could do it? I mean, it was just a tangled mess.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
You had the newspaper in one hand, and you had the Bible in the other, and you're trying to, you know, it's like a gigantic theological, geopolitical crossword puzzle. Who knows what's up and down? The Bible is much simpler and much more joyful when it comes to the promise of the second coming.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the biblical case for the end times Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are a lot of differences that you could note that could kind of guide you as you navigate between the two great streams of the Reformation in the 16th century, between Lutheranism and Calvinism. Sometimes these two streams will flow along in parallel. Sometimes they will actually meet, they join and flow together as one stream for a little bit, and then they will break off from one another. What about on the subject of God's law? There are certain parallels, there are certain similarities, but there also are differences between Calvinists and Lutherans, between Calvinism and Lutheranism on God's law. We're going to be exploring some of them for the next half hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, April the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Cameron McKenzie joins us. He's professor of German Reformation Studies and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, welcome back.
Glad to be with you today, Todd.
We're going to compare and contrast Lutheranism and Calvinism on God's law, but let's start out with the comparison. That is, where are they either in agreement or similar to one another when it comes to the subject of God's law?
I think that if Lutherans would read Calvin's Institutes on the question of the law, they'd hear a lot of things that are familiar to them. So, for example, in Calvin's discussion, he distinguishes between the ceremonial law and the civil law and then the moral law. And he makes the argument that it's only the moral law that is still binding on Christians. And then he talks about the functions of the law and identifies three functions. And with respect to those three functions, he uses terms like mirror for that function of the law that shows us our sins. He talks also about the law as restraining men who don't really care about what is just as right, but by hearing the threats of the law, they're restrained from some of the worst forms of wickedness. And then he also talks about the law on behalf of Christians. So he's got the three functions of the law and distinguishes them more or less the way we do in our own Lutheran instructional materials. So there's lots of stuff that would sound the same if you were reading John Calvin and Calvin on the Law.
So you're saying there that when it comes to simply defining three uses of three functions or offices of the law, there's some remarkable similarity between Calvin and Calvinism and Lutheranism.
Right.
The devil, of course, is always in the details.
Sure.
What's the biggest difference within that general agreement? What's the biggest difference, would you say?
Well, a difference, but not the biggest, is the way he numbers them, in that the law that condemns us as sinners, that function, is number one for Calvin. And the second one is the one that restrains outward manifestations of sin. So there's, as I say, I don't think it's particularly significant, but it is a difference. But the biggest difference in terms of the law is the relative weight that Calvin places upon the various functions. In Lutheranism, we identify the law as mirror, the law that shows us our sin, shows us as our Savior, as its most important function. We call it the theological function, because that's the one that drives you, that shows you your need for a Savior, and that drives you to look for one, and of course we have one. So that's the function of the law that most directly serves the gospel. For Calvin, and I'll actually quote him here, it's the third use of the law that's the most important one. He says, "The third and principal use, which pertains more closely to the proper purpose of the law, finds its place among believers in whose hearts the Spirit of God already lives and reigns." So it's the law for Christians that Calvin identifies as the most important. And at best, that's a consequence of the gospel, because it's the work of the law that the Holy Spirit uses among those who are already Christians. So it's an entirely different emphasis from what Lutherans teach. And then when he explains this function of the law, he explains it a little differently from the way you and I might explain it. He does acknowledge that the third use of the law does teach people. He says they learn more thoroughly each day the nature of the Lord's will to which they aspire, and to confirm them in the understanding of it. So it does have this pedagogical function, but, and this again is a big point of difference between us and Calvinism, he also goes on to explain that under the third use of the law for Christians, he understands exhortation, that it arouses Christians to obedience. And indeed, because Christians are still in the flesh, under the third use of the law, he says it's like a whip to an idle and balky ass to arouse it to work. Even for a spiritual man, not yet free of the weight of the flesh, the law remains a constant sting that will not let him stand still. So the law is a principal motivator for the kind of life that Christians are to lead. And this is entirely antithetical to what we teach about the Christian life as a consequence of the work that Christ has done as a kind of thank offering to our Lord for the salvation that he has given us. So you have a real difference in understanding of the place of the law for Christians in this understanding of the law.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him on Calvinism, Lutheranism, and God's law on this Thursday afternoon. He's professor of German Reformation Studies and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, why? Why is this different? There's got to be a theological reason for coming to a different conclusion on the third use of the law, both its emphasis and what it is used for. We'll be right back.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scher, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Cameron McKenzie is our guest. We're talking about Calvinism, Lutheranism, and God's law. Well, you've outlined there the differences here. If I could summarize them, there's some minor differences in the way that they kind of sort out the three uses of the law. But the major difference between Lutheranism and Calvinism is that Lutherans would talk about the third use of the law intended for Christians to be as instructor and guide for the Christian. That the third use of the law, while it should be maintained and used, the law never is given the ability to either motivate or produce good works or the fruit of the Spirit in the Christian. That is that's a function of the gospel in the Christian's life. Whereas for Calvin, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, he would say the gospel can produce good works too, but the law also has a function in producing good works. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Yeah, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to produce good works in the life of a Christian. So Calvin and Lutherans would agree on that. But the question then is, how does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, certainly the Holy Spirit motivates Christians to respond to God's love with their own acts of love. We'd teach that. Calvin would teach that. We would also agree with Calvin that the law instructs. And I've thought about that quite a little bit more recently than I used to. I used to think that was pretty minimal. Everybody knows right and wrong. But I don't think that way quite so much anymore. We have a society that's so confused about all different forms of morality that probably the law is more useful today than it has been at other times in instructing people as to what's right and what's wrong, how Christians really should live. So Calvin and Lutherans would agree there too. But then Calvin does two different things. One, he shifts the emphasis and says this is the most important function. And then, secondly, he does talk, as you just said, about the law as a motivator. Its threats are there to kind of get the Christian going again when he feels tired or lazy, et cetera. So, and that definitely is a difference between us and him.
I'm put in mind of how the Lutheran confessions address this issue with regard to the third use of the law. And they will talk about the third use of the law having a coercive function, but not on the Christian according to the new man. He needs no coercion.
Right.
But according to the old man, it basically is to either subdue him in his rebellion, or I think they talk about it being kind of coercive to him because he constantly needs to be cajoled by the law. But that's a very subtle difference here, but a difference nonetheless, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the big thing is this emphasis. In Lutheranism, we talk about law and gospel, but we always make the law the servant of the gospel. In Calvinism, he'll talk about law and gospel. Calvin will talk about law and gospel as well. But it's more like a 50-50 proposition. The law has its own good purposes, and the gospel has its own good purposes. And if you're preaching and teaching the word, you'll have both of them there doing, in effect, doing their own thing. So I think emphasis as much as kind of content is important in understanding the difference.
So really, we're talking about Lutherans maintaining the principle here that on this side of the resurrection, the law will always be serving the purpose of the gospel. Is that too simple a way to put it?
No, I think that that's exactly what Lutherans teach. Now, that's not to say that we are dismissive of good works. We're not. It's in our confessions, in our theology, and, of course, most important, it's in the Bible, that Christians do live a certain way, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they fight against sin, and they serve their neighbor, and they love God, always imperfectly, because we're always sinners, but because we're Christians, always what we want to do and work hard to do. So that's an essential part of the Christian religion. But we live by and out of the gospel. By the gospel, because there's no other way for us to have a right relationship with God, and then out of the gospel as our principal motivation for doing what we do as Christians. So probably the worst thing you can call a Lutheran is a legalist, and the worst thing that you can call a Calvinist is an antinomian, because in each case, you're providing a label that is the antithesis of what is at the heart of that theological system.
Why is this? We've got just a few minutes here, but
yeah,
what's the
yeah.
fundamental difference between Lutheranism and Calvinism that would lead to these two different views, in particular of the third use of the law? Have you thought about that?
Well, I have thought about it, and I think it really comes down to theology proper, that is, what you think of God. In the Calvinist system, God is the ultimate sovereign who demonstrates in his relation with human beings both love, in that he saves some sinners, and justice, in that he damns others. In the Lutheran system, though both statements are true, what's at the center is God's love for all humanity in Christ and how God wants all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's the gospel that defines our God, and it's law and gospel that define Calvin's God. And I think that then that is reflected in preaching and teaching and the place that the law has in the system. And it's just simply more prominent in Calvin's system than it is in the Lutheran system. But I think it's a reflection of what Calvin thinks about God in the first place.
Then with about a minute and a half, does it also explain why, at least in my opinion, and I would think in yours as well, why works manage inevitably to sneak in the back door in a Calvinistic system, especially when it comes to answers of questions like, how do I know I'm really one of God's elect? Immediately one begins to inventory the fruit of the Spirit or one's works. Is it related to that? With about a minute here, Dr. McKenzie.
Yeah, I think that's a question for another program, because all Calvinists are not the same on this question. And the answer you're proposing is probably more true of the later Puritans than it would have been true of Calvin proper. He's convinced of his salvation on the basis of an internal witness of the Holy Spirit that basically tells him he's a believer, as opposed to doing an inventory of works. But it is true that a lot of Calvinists and indeed Christians today are going to take comfort in their works instead of being directed to the gospel. And that if you don't have a gospel that's built on universal grace, that certainly would be a temptation, wouldn't it, to look for some kind of indicator outside of the gospel that you are one of the elect, one of the chosen. But that is a big question, and Calvinists are kind of all over the map in sort of looking for assurance or certainty of salvation, which they can't really find in the gospel because potentially it's not for them.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie is professor of German Reformation Studies and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. I hope I can do it again sometime.
Two of Dr. Cameron McKenzie's colleagues at Concordia Theological Seminary will be speaking at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The Conservative Reformation will be the subject of Dr. Larry Rath's presentation there, and then Law and Gospel Preaching will be the subject of Dr. Carl Fekencher's presentation Friday, June the 10th, and Saturday, June the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can find out more, and you can register for $100 per person at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385 with any questions you have about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., we'll review the movie God's Not Dead 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.